to you from me. Left a bit, up, now, oh, just a smidge to the right. Ah, perfect. Oh, sorry about that. Just arranging the new cabinet. Yes, welcome to the first post-election episode of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. No more polls, no more speculation, and no more Ed Miliband and Nick Clegg. Well, if you're bored, guys, you can always give me a hand pushing the podcast. So 2/3 of the population put a cross in a box. But what did it all mean for public health? Well, if you read the Conservative Manifesto, particularly the section on protecting and improving our National Health Service, you'll see, not surprisingly, 23 mentions of the letters NHS in 3 pages. But unfortunately, only one mention of the words public health. And then, ironically, they are attached very closely to the word budget. Funding the local authority public health budgets is the exact phrase, which brings to mind an immediate question. Why am to the phrase ring-fenced? The concept of ring-fencing was brought in to make sure money is used for its intended purpose and not used to prop up some bit of the organisation that's overspent again. In most cases, particularly in local government, the accountants will sniff out any spare cash with the skill of a team of tracker dogs. So it remains to be seen, one, if the public health budget is cut, and two, if it has its ring-fencing removed. They also talk about taking action to reduce childhood obesity and promote clear food information, whatever that last bit means. We already have the traffic light system on foods and the so-called responsibility deal, and we still have an obesity crisis, so it's not very clear how much further promoting can go down that particular cul-de-sac. There's also mention of investing in primary care to prevent diseases developing, a good idea in everyone's eyes, but by its very definition, to receive primary care, surely you have to be a patient in the first place, as opposed to health promotion, which is aimed at the whole population. So certainly a bit of a garbled message there. A little further on in the document, the environment comes into focus and a promise to continue to work to improve our air quality, which is welcome, bearing in mind the recent Supreme Court ruling regarding nitrogen dioxide levels, which in 3 areas of the country are unlikely to reach EU limits before 2030. Plenty of work to do there, then, in between still promoting the big society. Does anyone know? I didn't think you did. Anyway, there you have it. Plenty of promises, but still for me, along with the most of the other parties, a total lack of joined-up thinking. Throwing money at the NHS and ignoring public health is a bit like running a car for 50,000 miles without a service and then wondering why there's a big queue at the garage and a big bill to match when it breaks down. One year at Christmas, my granddad, a confirmed pint of bitter man, received a bottle of Creme de Menthe as a present. Not used to drinking anything less than half a pint, Grandad poured a generous helping into his pint mug, swigged it down in one, and took half an hour to get his breath back. An early lesson in the dangers of alcohol, and last week the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development reported that on average each person in the UK consumes 10.6 litres of pure alcohol a year, the equivalent of an amazing 115 bottles of wine. The figure puts the UK 11th in the league table of alcohol consumption. The swigging isn't evenly distributed, though, with just 20% of the population consuming 60% of the drink. It's a sobering thought, if you'll excuse the pun, that alcohol is now the 5th leading cause of death and disability across the globe. While the nation was taking a trip down to the polling station, the Earth's atmosphere, or to be more precise, the amount of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere, was taking a trip over the 400 parts per million limit for the first time. The figure measured in March is the highest global average since records began, showing that CO2 in the atmosphere is increasing by 2.25 parts per million every year. 2014 was the oddest year on record, with the average global temperature across the land and ocean surfaces measured as 0.69 degrees centigrade above the 20th century average. This year, weather forecasters are already seeing signs of an El Nino event, which gives rise to extreme weather due to variations in ocean temperatures. A strong El Nino 5 years ago was linked with poor monsoons in Southeast Asia, droughts in southern Australia, the Philippines and Ecuador, blizzards in the US and heat waves in Brazil, and extreme flooding in Mexico. We'll be right back. contaminated parsley was thought to be the cause of Northern Ireland's worst ever outbreak of E. coli, which resulted in 141 cases amongst diners at Flick's restaurant in Belfast. The owners were fined £110,000 by Belfast Crown Court recently after staff assumed that parsley used to garnish meals was ready to eat and didn't need washing before serving. Business owner Michael McAdam pleaded guilty to 11 food hygiene offences, including failure to ensure food handlers were adequately supervised, trained and instructed. Victims of the outbreak have already received over £300,000 in compensation. 45 different lines of ready meals have had to be withdrawn by three of the country's biggest supermarket chains over fears that they could contain pieces of metal. Sainsbury's, Morrison's and Waitrose are all involved after equipment used to process vegetables splintered, affecting hundreds of tonnes of potato products. That brings to mind an incident a few years ago when, as an EHP, I found a metal bolt in a sausage. As was the practice, bolt and sausage got sent to a colleague in the area where the sausage was produced. The local officer turned up at the factory, showed the production manager the offending item, and quick as a flash, he removed the bolt, went to the production line and screwed it into a vacant hole, saying, "God, I'm glad you found that. We wondered where it had gone." There's no answer to that. Finally, this week, it's back to the election and the government reshuffle produced one major casualty this week as the land of local government bid a tearful farewell to former Minister for Communities and Local Government, Eric Pickles. Yes, perhaps it's only fitting that we bid farewell to the man who was fixated by flying flags from council buildings to weekly bin collections and producing the hilarious 50 ways to save examples of sensible savings in local government, or 50 Shades of Eric as it became known, which included such gems as clamping down on corporate charge cards, closing canteens and cancelling away days to posh hotels, which understandably didn't go down too well with a certain local government officer who was once refused a tea bag because of cost cutting and had to wait a month to claim back 20 pence for two photocopies because, yes, Eric, you've done away with petty cash. Goodbye, Eric, and you can be assured on your departure the flags are really flying. See you in a fortnight.
Now is the time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now is the time to yield a sigh.
Yield it, yield it.
Now is the time to wend our way.
I'm a public health professional, get me out of here is written, produced and presented by Peter Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
Goodbye, goodbye, why not say it again? Goodbye.